Father needs a new microphone. There we go. I can't cope with all these new things. Can't find the on and off button. Can't get it on my ear. Overheads, we hope, will be a little brighter in a few weeks. We have some work to do on a lot of things here. And the Lord's working on us, too. This gospel is challenging to me. And I read this, you must be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. This is a really good image for this morning, don't you think, with all the icy roads? We need the salt of the earth this morning. When I lived in Ohio, they'd get the salt trucks out when we had these icy roads. And by morning, it would all be slush. And we don't have that capability here in Salem. We don't have, in Kaiser, we don't have it often enough. And the salt had an unintended consequence of kind of getting into the cars and rusting them out if you didn't keep it washed clean. So in the same way, the Lord would say, you know, you've got a spice cabinet. If you just leave it in there, it's going to get stale and get thrown out. If God makes us spices, it's because we're meant to be used for something. If we have a light bulb and we just cover it up, that's a waste of money. It's not doing its intended job. So he calls us spice and light. But the challenge is, he says, you have to go the whole world and show off your light. And it sounds kind of exhausting, doesn't it? Who wants to be a light for the whole world? It's a challenge. And I think when we look at it, it helps to narrow it down to what is God really asking me to do. And it comes down to the day-to-day things, that God places certain people and events in everybody's lives. Some are very challenging, and some are very uplifting. And what God asks of us is to be present to that one individual, one at a time. And in this way, we make a difference. The Lord makes it clear that he's watching for good deeds. And it's the one place, I think, in the gospel where he actually mentions that, just so your good deeds must shine before others. And so that one of the ways in praying, I usually read the gospel on Sunday afternoon and kind of get it in my head so that God hopefully will speak to me during the week. You might want to try that yourselves and see what would you say on Sunday about this gospel? What's God saying to me? I went up to Portland on Friday. I tried to get to Portland on Friday. I got as far as Stafford, ran into a blizzard, and I just very fortunately made a U-turn and just came back home. And I stopped at the store. I figured I'd get some things before we get snowed in. And there was hardly any cars in the parking lot, but right in the middle of the roadway is an abandoned shopping cart sitting there that apparently had rolled a little bit. So somebody had probably unloaded their groceries, and the place to put it is only like from here to here, but it was sitting over here. So somebody didn't make that effort there. And if it were dark, I could have gone and hit it. And as I went by that, I thought, that's really what life is all about. Life is one shopping cart after the other. It's just all God asked. Now that person, if you forgive me for making a judgment, was selfish because they didn't care that somebody else would hit that. You know, I guess my job was to put it away, perhaps, or move it. But God gives us shopping carts, and our role is simply to do our thing. Our mission there is just to put that shopping cart where it belongs so that somebody else won't hit it. That's being a light to others. It's so interesting because people do notice us and what we do, though they may not say anything. If you have a habit of not swearing and you say something like that, people will notice that. They'll say, you? Because see, without saying anything, they've noticed that you tend to be some way. If you don't gossip, people at work will tend to not want to do that around you because you make them uncomfortable. You know, you might not go anywhere, you just don't say anything. And we become a light to the world. When I was younger in college, I got, I think, one of the best jobs in the world. I worked for the LA Public Library for 5 years. And how I got that's another story, but it was a fun job because all I had to do was shelve books, check out books, and then we would read the shelves. That meant that you looked to make sure all the Dewey Decimal things were all in the right place. And when that was done, you could kind of go in a corner and read the latest book until you were needed. And I got to do whenever hours, any time of day I wanted to come in for 15 hours a week. So the issue with this job was the lady that hired me, her name was Mrs. Brenner. She was a nice lady, but you know, when you're a teenager and she was very, very old, I think she must have been at least 50. You know, when you're 18, that seems very, very old. And she was a little scary, you know. You ever had a boss that was a little scary? And I she was a nice lady, but she wouldn't want to cross her. When she wanted you, they had a little clicker. I've still got a clicker. You could hear that, and I had to come. You spouses might want to try that when you want to call your wife or... No, just kidding. So, so anyway, whenever she came up, whenever I saw her, she had the worst expression on her face. She never smiled. It was, I don't know if she had a problem or if she just was unhappy or... And so, what I did was, I said, you know, oh my gosh, when I'm 50, I don't want to have a face like this. So I started smiling whenever I saw her. I just decided, I'm going to do the opposite when I see this face. This is what I did for 4.5 years. And so, when I left, I went up to a monastery, and I came back to visit a couple years later. I think she was retiring, or somebody was, and I just came to visit, and she said, you know, Gary, the thing I remember about you, the thing that really helped me, she says to me, she said, why was it? I noticed that whenever you saw me, you would smile. Well, do you think I told her why I was smiling when I saw her? I thought, wow, you know, that's being a light to the world, and you don't even realize that you're doing it. It's just doing the opposite. I was trying to save myself from being sunk into this, but it was affecting her. And we saw this continuously during the building project. It's been hard to cope this week, I found. The new building, there's a lot of things, but the punch list, as they call it, is very large. Every time I come in here, I'm making a list. I'm making a point of keeping the list. I want to make sure people get empowered to do the things we need to do. But things like locks that don't work well, overheads that are too dim, you don't know where... Everybody got your seat? You know where you're going to seat for the next 10 years? It's a little disquieting, isn't it? You know, the Adoration Chapel doesn't work right. The door, right today, the door won't open. And all these things, people react funny. Some people are just very negative, and they tend to put, like, it's raining in here whenever you see them. And you can react that way to this, and some people are like that. That's their nature. And others will always find the positive in something. They're there to help. They're part of the solution. Little things, small things. And this is what God is asking, not big things. Most of us don't have that opportunity, but just in my own area. I finished with one last story. I said to God, please don't let anybody die tonight because I can't get out of the house. Well, of course, somebody did. Though I should never say these prayers because the Holy Trinity gets an idea from listening to what I don't want. But somebody at Avamere passed away, and they wanted me to come over. I thought, oh, I'm going to have to. The snow hadn't been plowed or anything. And I came out, and there was Kevin Friedenberg was coming by in a truck and picked me up and took me over there. So by my willingness to do that, God immediately stepped in and did the rest. You see how that goes? Not always true, but God is there. He's watching, because what he calls good deeds are the way in which we live our faith. It should be a natural thing. We're not all perfect. We don't all do this all the time, but God keeps giving opportunities to us, and this is where he lives and breathes. We have our prayer time. We come to church. We do things here, and then we do things at home. But where the snow tires hit the ice is where we are, the places that God has put us today, the struggles with getting here and going home, and the little things that God gives us. So this gospel is light and salt. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and God gives us many opportunities to do this, and he is watching.